Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
So listen, are you ready to receive this morning? Church, are we ready to receive this morning? Because my job this morning is to bring you the word, but it's your job to receive it. And it's not my job to force it down your throat, but for you to cooperate this morning with what the Holy Spirit wants to do in you and how he wants to help you and how he wants to love on you and what he wants to show you this morning. And so my encouragement to you is be open this morning to what the Lord is saying to you, because I'm just finishing off. In September, like getting back into the room, we kind of thought, I've had in my heart, and I've been preaching this the whole way through September, is to go... There, when we look at the world, it's not to preach. I'm not interested in preaching against the world. I'm just interested in preaching about Jesus and his work. Do you get that? It's like the world's got enough trouble without believers giving them even more. But I do think that there's something going on, and I've been speaking into it over the last number of weeks. But I think there's something going on where in the world that we live in, it's gotten narrower and more selfish, more self-centered. And that's just not, the businesses are saying this, organizations are saying this, in pandemic, because everything got really shrunk in, what it meant is our view got narrower, and now we're spending the same amount of time, or if not more time, but in a much narrower frame of reference. And I think it's actually, I think it's one of the plans of the enemy to cause disunity, division, to keep people separated, is to make them fearful that if you bump into them, you might catch some killer virus. And I go, look, whilst we want to respect the laws of the land and everything else, which we have done the whole way through, I'm not buying into the spirit of the age, which is fear. Do you get that? Everything is loaded about don't do this, don't do that. For goodness sake, you know what? For you posher ones amongst us, you'll not get your Marks and Spencer's food parcels this year, food parcels from Marksies, because the media have been saying, we're all going to run out of petrol. Have you heard that one this week? I have been like past a million petrol stations and they seem to have loads of it. But you see, it's like this constant diet, isn't it, of we're doomed, Captain Mannering, we're doomed. And might as well not go out. That was a Dad's Army reference for those of you who are of a certain age. It's all TV references this morning. But there's this thought like of going, flip me, you'd be better just pulling the duvet over your head, staying in bed and praying for Jesus to return. Because that's your only hope right now. And I go, that's not the spirit we have. I don't want to get up in the morning and go like, oh my goodness, I'm in trouble. I want to get up every morning and go, like I said last week, my best days, your best days are still to come, because his promise is new every morning. His faithfulness is new every morning. His mercy is new every morning. His grace is new every morning. And there is no way on God's green earth that Jesus is behind the curve with what's going on in the world. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the name above all names. And right now he is seated at the right hand of his Father in heaven with a perfect work, a complete work. And he says to you and I, as I have done it, just receive it for yourself. Because you might be in this world, but let me tell you, church, you're not off it. We're made of different stuff. Do you realize whenever you encounter Jesus and you are transformed from the inside out, the word new creation means something was created that never existed before. It wasn't that he did a patch-up job. It wasn't that he came along and said, you're saving in the meeting and now the work starts. In that moment, the actual word that is used in the Bible is, you never existed in your spirit, man. You were so regenerated. You might, the old joke, if you were ugly before you got saved, you might be ugly after, but that's your body and it's going to pass away anyway. Does not apply to anybody in this room, but actually in your spirit, in the very inside of you, it never existed before. That's why the Lord said, you're in a new creation. You are created of the very same stuff of Jesus, right? And do you think for one minute this morning the Lord is sitting in heaven going, here, St. Peter, did you top up that car like I told you to do? Because I'm telling you, we're running out of fuel. What about them variants? Are you watching the BBC? That's terrible. I mean, lock the gates of heaven, because there's a Charlie variant, or a South African variant. We've been spending some time with Pastor Josh, actually, up from, and he's a South African. They're responsible for all the variants going. But we let him into our house, didn't we? No, we made him sit in another room and we shouted through to him, but we let him in anyway. And we had some fun. I'm only joking. But what I'm saying, church, is honestly, this message of God's grace, when we get back, as we have got back into church and back into the room and in this season, as we are finding our way with it and people are finding our way with almost getting back into real life, let us not lose sight of the gift that you have been given. The gift of hope, the gift of faith, the gift of grace, the gift of a great future, the gift of wholeness and completeness, the gift of health, the gift of knowing that you are prosperous already. Why? Because of your circumstances? No, because you have Christ, right? And Christ in you is greater than everything and everyone else. Let's not lose sight. In fact, I find this is a time to stand firm. I'm going to talk about this today, to stand firm in that, to be absolutely 100%. Okay, in these days, standing firm 100% on Jesus, who he is, and what he has done. It's not a time to shrink back. It's not a time to get selfish. In fact, I'm going to talk about it today. Excuse me. The antidote actually is not more self. The antidote is more Jesus. Yeah. That's you know, do you want to know what the root of your problem is? Whatever it is, too much self, not enough Jesus. Proverbs 13:10 says this. Says only by strife. Okay, or the word is pride. Only by pride comes strife. Only by pride. Okay, and actually the word only in Hebrew is a word that negates everything else. So what the Lord says that is, in your life, have a look at what's going on. And it's only by self-centeredness that you find dissension or you find strife. Now, that doesn't mean that you're full of ego in the sense of thinking you're magnificent. It can be a false view of who you are. And a false view of the gospel that you've been given, who you are in Christ. Either way, you're both, it's two ends of the one stick, both concentrating on you and not Jesus. And so this morning, I'm going to finish off this kind of thought, actually, as we're at the end of September? We are, aren't we? And I'm just mapping my life now by what season of Downton we're on. So we're season 4, episode 1. Just throwing that out. And so what we're going to do today is I really want to encourage you. And I really want to encourage you. Church, you know, over the last 18 months, you've had more teaching, more stuff to fill yourself than what you will possibly need for the rest of your days. Getting good teaching is not your issue. Do you hear me? Yeah. That's not the point. We have been stuffed to the gills with brilliant stuff, everything accessible in these days. And I thank God for it, you know, because we have fed well. We hopefully have fed you guys well, other ministries. But honest to goodness, you don't need, I kind of go, Lord, if I could do, just absorb 5% of what I've been fed with, I'd be like super Christian, right? And we can go to the Word this morning very quickly. Do you know what happens? I just love being in front of you guys, so I just waffle. And, you know, but it's like having a conversation, isn't it great? Is that all right? It's great. But I honestly feel the encouragement of the Holy Spirit for our church to go, we're not shrinking back. We ain't going back. We're not under the pump. We're not behind the curve. But actually, we're going to grow in this season to be people who are simultaneously receiving, feeding, growing, but flowing as well. Right? Because the world will say, get smaller, look after yourself. Right? And when the wisdom of the world hits the wisdom of God, then we need to make a decision as to which one we're going to just say, Lord, open my heart to more grace here this morning. Because you know when the Lord is saying something to you, right? The only agenda that the Lord has for you this morning is your good. He dreams about you being fully alive and fully prospered. I had this picture this week when I was preparing this, going, actually, do you know what? You know what excites the Lord? Listen to me. Don't doubt him for one minute. I think he, you know, it's almost like any parent will do. I dream about my kids just smashing it. You know what I mean? Like being all they're meant to be, being fully fit, fully alive, fully complete, loving every day, knowing that everything they need is provided. I love that as a dad. How much more, the Word says, whenever the Lord loves you. And I have this sense, actually, this morning, as you hear the Word, is to go, Lord, I'm going to receive this because it's for my good. Grace is going to expand in my life today. And when I feel the tension of self, I'm going to choose you. Right? When I feel the thing of, oh, what if? I'm going to choose you because when I choose you, there's life. Is that good? You ready to go? You want to open up your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4, because I'm just going to use a couple of verses today, or a number of verses, which are, were written, now 1 Peter, it's obviously Peter who wrote it. Well, actually, Peter didn't write this. It's called 1 Peter, but it was written, it was actually composed by a guy called Silvanus, right? And, but Peter commissioned it. It was one of these round circular letters that's meant to be written or meant to be read by lots of different churches. So he's not actually dealing with any particular issue. It's an exhortation and encouragement for all the churches. And it was written to Asia Minor, which is modern day Turkey, right? And so this is where he's writing to. Now, why does Peter write these verses? Because the churches were predominantly Gentiles, predominantly people like us. And what happened is they're kind of surrounded in one sense, because of where Turkey is, you've got the Greeks up there and the Romans this way, and they're getting squished, and they were harassed, they were bullied, they were persecuted, they were under pressure, and they had found Christ, they had experienced him, and here they are as a group of people, but they're getting pressed on every side and they're feeling pressure. And I don't know about you, whenever you are feeling like things are pressing in against you, what do we tend to do when stuff is pressing from the outside? Does it make us bigger and more expansive, or does it make us actually start to pull in a little bit and go into protection mode? Isn't that right? That's what we tend to do. When things are coming at us this way, we tend to hunker down, and it's not about actually a time of expansion, it's about a time of survival, particularly when we're feeling pressure. Does anyone do that, or am I just a complete no-hoper? Thank you, okay. And so what happens is Peter hears about what's going on, and he writes them this letter. I'm just going to jump in 4. I might actually do a whole series on this, because it's flipping class, as I was reading my way through it this week. But what happens is this. So here you have it. Just think about your own life right now. Here you have a group of people like you and me. We're Gentiles, brought into the body of Christ, but our circumstances around us are pressing in. All right, and Peter recognizes something here, and he's going to give them wisdom. He's going to give them really good wisdom, which jumped out at me to go, that's a word to finish off our month of going, not just grace for me, but grace for all. And so let's read it in chapter 6. Oh, no, there is no chapter 6. 1 Peter 5, 6 to 9. And humble yourselves, right? The word humble here means dismiss reliance upon self. So humble yourselves doesn't mean feel bad. Oh, Lord, I'm nothing but a worm in your sight. All right? Okay, I'm going to, humble yourself means where you have reliance on self in your life, dismiss it. It's exactly what it means in the original. Therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Do you know the mighty hand here? The word is kratos, kratos. Sounds awesome, doesn't it? Sounds like a wrestler, Kratos. And what happens is Kratos means this, okay? God's supreme mastery, his unrivaled dominion. Dominion means to have power over something. So what he's saying is get rid of self and place yourself under the unrivaled dominion and supreme mastery of God. All right? Now, because remember, the context is all pressing in on them. And at the proper time, he may exalt you. That just means he lifts you up. And it says, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. He cares for you. I want to stop there this morning and go, actually, close your eyes for me, church, just in the room here. Do it online. All right? It's going to take a moment in the Word. Cast your anxieties on him because he cares for you. What is it this morning, church, that's weighing you down? What is it that's a burden for you? What is it that occupies your thinking, or who is it that occupies your thinking? Is it in your body this morning? Is it sickness? Maybe it's a loved one, somebody close. Maybe it's a situation at work. Maybe it's just a feeling of I'm on my own and I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring for me. What is it? I had a picture this week. What I want you to do is I want you to imagine yourself holding those things in your hands. And Jesus is in front of you this morning. And he's looking at you and he's lifting your head up to look right at him this morning. And he's saying, give me your worries. Give me your anxiety. I want you to see yourself this morning taking those things and casting it to the Lord. Throwing it to the Lord. It coming off you. Do you know why? He cares for you. He's standing there. He says, I care for you deeply. I love you deeply. I don't want you to be under the weight of it anymore. I don't want you to be under the stress of it anymore. So take that weight, take that burden, and cast it to me. I feel the Lord lifting people up this morning in this place. And it's where your shoulders have been cowed, where your head has been down, where the weight has been heavy. Because this jumped out at me. In the middle of a world which is pressing in, this is why we come to church. This is why we gather as the people of God. So we can stand and see Jesus, our Savior and our King. But also our defender and our healer, our provider, our comforter and our helper and our hope. Standing here this morning, saying, whatever it is, give it to me and let me take it from you. If you're heavy burdened and you're weary, come to me. Give it to me and I will give you rest this morning in Jesus' precious name. And so I speak over all of you this morning in this room and online. And I just pray right now the rest of grace over you. The comfort of the Holy Spirit. You might not know how it's going to work out. You don't need to know. He does. You might not know the next steps. Don't worry, rest. And the Lord will open the door for you. Don't let the Lord rob you, or no, don't let the enemy rob you today of what the Lord has for you in grace today. You have got grace for today. 3 years from now, 3 months from now, okay, that's the enemy just trying to get your head off grace for today. And you know what the Lord's promise to you is? See, when you wake up tomorrow morning, grace will not have been depleted. Grace will not have run out. The reserve and the reservoir of his love and his faithfulness for you will be as full and overflowing tomorrow as it is today. But he says, don't worry about tomorrow. You'll walk in that grace when you're there. But today, be present and know and be still and know that I'm God. Supreme in dominion, the master above it all. And I care for you. That means you. Put your name in there. He cares for you. He's not the one who comes and puts demands on you. He's the one who lifts them off you. He doesn't come with expectations that you'll never be able to meet. Every expectation of right behavior, every expectation of right living, every expectation that was ever due to us was met by Jesus for you today. And so he simply says, come and receive grace upon grace in your life. And if there's people in your life this morning who need that grace, right now in that moment, you can believe, let me tell you, as you're sitting here choosing to be in the presence of Jesus, he's working in them, on them and around them. So don't worry about them. Don't be fearful for them. The Lord is more committed, more loving. The Lord is more focused on the ones that you love than even you are. And he says this morning, your fear and your anxiety won't do my work in their life, but it'll rob you of peace for today. So let them go into my care. Because as I'm standing here in front of you, lifting the burden from you, I love them too. Even say their name under your breath this morning and just say, thank you, Jesus, that this person is in your care. He cares for you, church. Like a shepherd, like a father. His arms are around you this morning. He loves you. Pouring grace upon grace, hope upon hope in Jesus' precious name. In Jesus' precious name. How he loves you. Amen. It's good to be encouraged in the presence of the Lord, isn't it? I just stopped on that this week and went, I feel like my heart's full. Because I know I stand up here and talk nonsense most of the time, to be fair, but bring the word. But things bother me too. You know, things bother people who lead churches, all sorts of stuff. But then I come to the word and I go, Lord, why do we do what we do? Why are we opening church again? Why? It's because, and the Lord said, because I care about my people. And in this world, there's not a lot of care. There's a lot of self-interest and a lot of selfishness and a lot of using people. But as for me and my church, me and Exchange Church, this is a place of grace. This is a place of love. This is a place of acceptance and a place of hope. It's a place of healing. Amen? Does that feel good this morning? Does anyone feel good when you just feel the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life? Yeah? Yeah? Oh, I did anyway. I nearly got saved in the middle of that. So there we go. Then he goes on. That's a joke. For if you're watching online, flip me. Penny's face. I shouldn't have said that. So he then goes on to say here in 1 Peter, he goes, cast all your anxieties on because he cares for you. Be sober-minded and watchful. And then he goes on to tell us what the issues are. And he goes on to say that your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a lion looking for somebody to devour, so resist him. Stand firm. Stand firm. We've preached this, firm in your faith, knowing that in the same kind of suffering being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. So what he goes on to say is, and this is why, I'm going to have to go real fast. Either go real fast or don't get to the bit that I really wanted to preach. Let's just see how we go. He's going to show you, right, that as he's caring for you, he's lifting our heads up to go, your battle is not your circumstances, people, and all that. And I feel this really strongly for the times that we're living in. The spiritual temperature is on the up. Do you get that? I do believe we're in the last days. I am not a mad, go freaky around that stuff. You know that if you know anything about me. But I see the temperature rising around us. And so that's why I go, I believe absolutely that's why I believe in the church. But not as a place where we hunker down, but a place of faith and expectation and growth, where we receive grace. Because what we flow in it. Because he's going, actually, the battle here, and we know this, is not your circumstances. Don't make your circumstances the point. You've got to stand firm in your faith and resist what the enemy is trying to do in the world, okay? And you know, it's so easy. At this point, if I was a true dyed-in-the-wool charismaniac, I would have you pointing to the north, the south, the east, and the west, and going buck daft. But it's beautiful. Let's go on to the end, or let's just go before 1 Peter 4:8-11. Because what's the antidote? What's your antidote? When you're under pressure, what are you going to respond? Are you going to go smaller and more inward? Because remember, whatever you give your attention to becomes bigger. Whatever you give your sight to is magnified. So what he says is this, in chapters before, verses 8 to 11, he says, above all, loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards. There's loads that I can unpack here, but do you know what the word for gift there? Typically, we talk about this as, I've got the gift of this, I've got the gift of that. Actually, the word is charis. So as you have received the gift of God's grace in your life, use it, right? Not as a slave. The word steward here is oikonomos. And what that means is a slave who's released from forced legal servitude. So you don't walk away from church today going, oh, I've got to love people and show them grace because that's what the answer is. He goes, that's a legal mindset. You're not under compulsion. You're not, but it's good when you've received grace. He says, use that grace that you have received to love and to bless other people. Above all, above everything else, let no debt remain outstanding with anyone other than to love them. And that's the gift that you have to steward. It's the one that you look after. That the grace that you have received, the Lord simply says, use it for other people. Flow in it for other people. Because I'll tell you what it does. When the enemy is prowling around trying to cause disunity, isolation, loneliness, fear, and anxiety, the antidote is not to go toe-to-toe with that. The antidote is to grace upon grace and to pour and to love all around you. It's the breaking of self. And some of us actually go, well, you know, and he says, do it as a good steward. That doesn't mean a perfect steward. Like I said, it's like someone who's been released from the thought of, I have to do this, because you're not under compulsion. You're free as you walk out of here today to choose grace, because grace has freed you. You're free. You're free today from self. You might struggle to choose that, but the truth of it is the power of self has been broken in your life because grace is stronger still. Grace doesn't make you more inward. Grace gives you a heart for the world. You know, Jesus himself, he came. Why? Because he's grace himself. We see that modeled out in him, and that's where we are. That, you know, it says here, you know, serve one another as good stewards, okay? Not legal, forced legal servitude people, of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, he goes on to say, it's one who speaks the oral of God. That, look, what I want to say is here, there's another thing I'm going to say is, when he says love, he says, don't love like the world loves. He says, love like God loves. He uses the word agape, all right? If you're looking at your life today going, like, I'm not feeling like I'm flowing, I'm as fruitful, I feel like a bit, you know, I have been wrapped up in myself, I have been a bit, but I want to see more of God and his grace in my life. You know what the antidote is? Give away what you've got. That's what it means to steward it. It just means give it away. Every single one of us, every day of the week, has the opportunity just to be that person, that God encounter for someone, that grace encounter for someone. But you know what the Lord says? You'll experience more grace because as you pour out, he pours in. Many of us actually, we're not meant to be. I read somewhere this week, God didn't design us to be reservoirs, but rivers that flow. And so many of us have been reservoiring over these 18 months, pouring out, you know, letting it all, like, our tanks be full. I get that. But the problem is water needs to run or it gets stagnant, doesn't it? Yes. It gets stinking. And actually the Lord just says, open it up and flow. Let it flow. You're a river, not a reservoir. Oh, I need more teaching. I need more of this. No, you don't. You just need to open up and go, Lord. See what that person that I might just feel embarrassed about, or the one I haven't invited to church, or the one that I haven't shared the message with, or because I feel like they might go, oh, flip me, here's another one. Right? Don't do the Lord's job. Just flow. Because what the Lord says here is, above all, when you do that, right? And what happens is you find strength as God moves. So it's the upside down bit of the kingdom here. The world is look after you, look after yourself. And grace says, no, be wide and be big and flow. And everything you need will be poured in to overflowing. Amen. Why? Well, and why can you do that? Because he cares for you. He really cares for you. And so, is this okay? Is this encouraging you this morning? Because I think grace looks a lot like love. That's the point. I'm just going to go for about another 5 or 6 minutes, and then I'll finish this off next week. Because this word agape is not a feeling. It's not an emotion. That's what the world's currency is, feeling and emotion, fear, anxiety, all the rest of it. But the currency of God's kingdom and the currency of God's grace is agape. It's commitment. It's, you know, and, you know, it's not the kind of me-centered, selfish, kind of self-serving. God's kind of love is a love that reaches, it shares, that it grows. And it says actually in 1 John 4:16, the Lord actually writes, God is love. So, you know, it's like, it's not that this is just what he does, it's who he is. I've preached that 1,000 times, so I want to move on, okay? And it's this love that he talks about, be stewards of God's grace, because he loves you and he cares for you, is God's kind of love. Agape, the love that God wants you to share, right, it's not based on how you feel tomorrow. That's the point. If we wait until how we feel in these days, there are going to be a long time coming before we're actually flowing in the grace of God. Because feelings are going to be up and down like fiddler's elbows. But agape is known by what? By the feeling? No, it's known by the action that it prompts. That's the point. It's what it produces. It means to be utterly, steadfastly committed to someone's very best. It means to be faithful, to be loyal, to be true. And it's always independent of performance. It is, in one sense, agape is one-way love. It's like, despite what you do, despite who you are, despite all of that stuff, I am going to flow in love towards you. I'm going to choose you. In the way that God has chosen you, I'm going to choose to love this way. And I believe that, you know, that's why, it's the acid test for me, that's why we preach God's love week in and week out. Because you can't flow in something you haven't received, all right? Because if you're trying to do that, you run out and you get selfish again. And you become me, me, me again. That's why it's good to receive and go, Lord, you care for me. Let me receive that grace upon grace in my life. But then he says, above all, as you've received, now use it. The grace gift that you got, use it for other people. Now, let me bring you back again. I'm going right off my talk, but I don't care. Why do you think he does that? Why do you think he's saying that to you today? Think about it. Why does the Lord have you here listening to this? You might be going, I have no idea, but I wish he hadn't, right? Because he's speaking right. He's giving you a key today to break your fear and anxiety. He's giving you a fear today to lower ego and self and to see more of Jesus. You don't need to beg him for it. You don't need to cry about it. You just need to say, Lord, you've given me the blueprint. What I'm going to do is I'm going to stand firm in the gospel because you care for me. I'm going to stand firm in faith. And as that has been poured into me, Lord, I am going to choose to love like you've loved me. And remember, he's always leading you to freedom. He's always leading you to life. He's always leading you to greater, deeper, richer experience of his grace for you. And that's why he says it. Do you know what our problem is? It's completely contrary to what the world says today. And so that's why we come here to gather under the name of Jesus, to say, Lord, what does your word speak into our lives today? What does your word speak into my home? What does your word speak into my thinking? Because I honestly believe for all of you, and if you want to give this an amen, say, yes, I receive it. Do you know what I believe for all of you today and for me? Is that we are called to be a testimony, to be a, what I mean, let's not use Christian speak there, to be a living, vibrant 4K picture of what it means to live blessed in a world that's going to hell in a handcart. Do you get me? That's why he says, receive, like, let's start with I care, but let's then go to I share. Why? Because that is the pattern that Jesus himself modeled. And there was fulfillment, there was breakthrough, there was hope, there was healing. And when people see that in you, as you share it and you show it, I tell you, people will love to know more about God's grace in their life. Do you get that? I believe that with all my heart. We're not like slaves, like that's what he's saying, these stewards. It's not like we've been given something, so now get out and do it. You know what? Have you all measured up for sandwich boards? You'll get yours on the way out. Make sure you lift yours, not somebody else's. All right? We'll change the verse next week, but I want you in the Albert Bridge. I want you at Corn Market. Somewhere, you can go wherever you want. All right? Do you know what I mean? That's not where, that's, you know, get out and share it. I'm not saying that. Start every, you know what? Start tomorrow morning. Start today and go, he cares for me. know the best thing we could do to help ourselves in these days? Let's take 5-10 minutes. I've been doing it this week, sitting in my chair upstairs, just picturing Jesus coming to me and going, what is it today? Let me give it to me. Because I care for you. What's bothering you, Andrew? Just give it to me. Right. Do my feelings change all of a sudden? Not really. Does my hope rise? Absolutely. Am I praying that in some areas that my feelings will follow suit? Yes. Has it happened yet? No. Am I going to live by my feelings? No. I'm going to live by faith and not by sight. Because he told me that he cares about me. He told me that he had lifted up. But he also said, Andrew, all right, don't shrink. Put one foot in front of the other and just give out what I have given you. And where do you see what I'll do? Because I'm watching over my word to perform it. Do you get that? I almost feel like the Lord's going, come on. Come on. Seriously. You want to see grace in your life? You want to see grace in their life? You want to see unmerited, undeserved favor? Well, here's the Lord. I'm more excited about it than you. Do you know why? I've got more skin in the game. I give my life for it. I give my life for it. And right now, I'm not sitting back. I'm watching over that word. Didn't we sing it earlier on? What we speak. What we speak. What are you going to speak this week? What are you going to say this week? What are you going to share this week? Because I'm telling you now, the Lord is right there in that moment, in you, for sure, but around you, working in them, waiting for this beautiful collision of grace. That's why this church is here. If you're listening online, that's why we do this. I believe in these days, right? Like Peter says, to a world that is pressed on every side, to a world that doesn't have a hope, we have the message of one way, agape love, sitting in every one of us. So my great encouragement to you is, you'll not do it if you don't think he cares for you. Start this week and say, Lord, close your eyes, just picture it, and picture the Lord standing there with his hands open. Go and just put it into my hands, come on. Stop holding on to it. Stop holding on to them. Stop holding on to the fear. Just give it to me. I'm going to take it from you. Now, let's go on an adventure to see this world transformed by grace. Because I care for you. I've got all that stuff with them. Let's go. Amen, church. Why don't you close your eyes for 1 minute? Worship people if you want to come up and get ready. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. Lord, a very simple, in fact, it wasn't the word that I prepared, but it's just what I felt the Lord say. Lord, this is a place where, Lord, we can experience your care. In Jesus' name. But I speak over you, church. Your best days are in front of you. Your best days are in front of you. So this week, it might start with a trickle, but the Lord says, I want you to flow in full flood of my grace. Like when farmers sow seed, they don't put one wee seed in the ground. They have handfuls of the stuff and they chuck it everywhere. And as they chuck it everywhere, right, there's a good harvest that comes as a result. And so, Lord, today in our hands, we know that we are well looked after, that we are safe and secure, provided for, protected, blessed, and prospered. And I speak that from the tips of your head to the soles of your feet, church. And I speak increasing faith, increasing hope, increasing vision, Jesus, over these people, over this church, that we would be a lighthouse for your grace. A lighthouse for people who are in trouble, Lord. A lighthouse for people who have no hope. A lighthouse for people who need healing. A lighthouse for people, Lord, who are without all that they need. Jesus, I pray that you know, if we're looking for meaning and purpose, there's no greater meaning and purpose than that. Jesus, thank you that you've called us for this. Thank you that your hand is on us today, Lord. We give you our hearts. We give you our minds. We give you our weeks, knowing that you've already gone before us into every day for goodness and favor and blessing. And all God's people said, amen.